Hello, I am Jonathan J. Reinhardt, and right now you're thinking, wait a second, this isn't how episodes normally start off the CWF Gamecast, and you would be correct. But I am giving you a special message right now for episode 60, and the reason why I am doing this is because in the episode, I spent a little bit of time talking about the new WSNS issue. It's issue 55, and I talk about it because it's the first issue that I received with my digital subscription. And I talked about a few problems that I had with it. Now, this episode was recorded a while ago, and post-production happened not too long ago. But after the episode was recorded, and after I began doing post-production, the folks over at WSNS, which is War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy magazine, namely Jesper Orthuis and Guy Bowers, had made a release on Facebook stating that they noticed there was a problem with the issue, the digital nature of the PDF, actually, that it had a poor quality. And so they released a better quality version of this issue and all other issues of WSNS so that you would not have to deal with any of the pixelation or any of the other lower poor quality pertaining to the pictures and other graphics that are used in the magazine. Now, in this issue episode of the CWF Gamecast, you will hear me later on say that I'm having trouble with issue 55. And I mentioned about some of the problems, which actually ended up being resolved by the folks over at WSNS with their newer version. So this message is just to say that, you know, you're going to listen to my show and you're going to hear me say, well, I don't know if it's my device, the iPad. I don't know if it's the, you know, program I'm using, which is iBooks. I don't know if it's WSNS or what it is. But in the episode, I say that I'm having this trouble and maybe it's me, maybe it's my device, maybe it's WSNS. But there's something not right there, and I also asked to find out if any of you are having the same trouble. Now, I'm still curious if any of you are having the same trouble, but please note that WSNS has released a new version of the PDF. It's 40 megabytes or bigger, or larger, I believe. And as far as I know, Jesper Orthuis has said that nobody has downloaded that one yet, but it is there, so if you've already purchased, you know, WSNS issue 55, you have the old version and you should download the new one. You can get it directly from their website. Jesper sent you an email, but if you're not positive if you should already have it or if you're allowed to get it, you can always email them. It's editor@wssmagazine.com, and they'll gladly help you with that. And if you are going ahead to make a new purchase, whether you're going to get a single issue or you're doing a digital subscription, please note that all the old files have been replaced and they're updated with the new, better quality. If you're having any trouble, please try a different program, a different app other than iBooks. I talked with the Jesper Orthuis about this throughout the past couple days, and he strongly recommends a host of other apps. There's a lot of PDF reader apps that you can use. I have GoodReader on there. I also have Stanza, but there's one called PDF Reader. There's PDF Reader Pro. There's one called Ish Hearing and one called Felaur PDF, F-E-L-A-U-R. I can't promise that these are free. I can't promise prices on them, but they're all possible. They should all work. And if you have any trouble and using iBooks, then you might want to try one of these other ones. The way to tell if you're having trouble, when a page loads in WSNS, if it takes a little bit longer for it to load, and then if the images or in text appear pixelated, and it takes a little bit for that to go away and for it to come up with a crystal clear picture, you're using an older version of the file, or you might need to try a different app. So give those things a try, and if you're still having trouble, please send an email to editor@wssmagazine.com, and Guy Bowers, who's editor, and Jesper Orthuis, who is the big boss over there, will gladly help you. And I just want to say thank you again to both Jesper and Guy for giving me this information so I can give it to you. I just have to apologize that I didn't have that when I originally recorded the episode, because if I had, I would have given it in the episode instead of recording this preamble, I guess you'd call it, for the show. And then I also just need to say that the reason why I didn't edit the show with this information is that, like I had said, I already started post-production and it was a little tricky for me to go ahead and do that. But in the effort of fairness, I wanted to get that here at the start of the show. So that's everything, and I hope you enjoy the show as it always goes. It's going to start right now with our music and be on its way. So thank you for your time, and I hope you will continue to listen to us. Thanks. CWF Gamecast. As always, I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt, and today we have a fantastic episode for you. Let's see. I actually have quite a bit on the agenda, so I want to talk today about the Battleground Games and Hobbies Painting Social, and that's going to have a little bit of a discussion on Black Powder. I have some dispatches from headquarters to share. I want to give you our mailbag. We've been having some feedback lately to share with all of you. And related to that are, you know, some area events that I want to give you the heads up for. Plus, there is a reminder for our contest and a giveaway that we're doing. I want to do a little bit of a discussion on local game stores. I have some first thoughts on the latest issue of WSS Magazine. And I'm going to be talking about that from a digital standpoint because I have it as a digital subscription. Just a couple shout-outs, and then I want to talk about another issue, a difficulty in getting a game in, you know, scheduling the game with your mates and just getting that together. And if there's time, I want to do a review of Battle Games Magazine issue 26, I believe it is. So starting off, as always, I talk about my week in gaming. And this has been a while since I've done anything pertaining to week in gaming. Most of the shows lately have been, you know, just talk about all the kind of stuff, and I haven't had a whole lot about the weekend gaming. One of the most recent episodes, we had Henry Hyde of Battle Games Magazine on, so naturally during that, it's a special episode, so I didn't talk about my weekend gaming. But I got to play D&D for the first time in, ages. I played back in May, actually, so it was a little while ago, end of May, and that was the first time we played since, I want to say Christmas, January-ish. One of the guys in the group, he became a father around Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And then we just had some issues coming up. So we got to a game, and our DM, Teddy Roosevelt, does a fantastic job. He's doing his homemade campaign, and we're working out of Fallcrest over there in D&D land. I am a wizard, for those of you who have been listening to the show should know that. Unfortunately, we moved to a new day. We used to be the last Tuesday of the month, and now we're gaming on the last Monday of the month, which is pretty cool. But the downside of that is that one of our members, my friend Cookie, can't play in the game anymore. He has another game on Monday evenings that he plays in, so he had to drop from the group. But a plus of that is there's a new guy who will potentially be joining us. He's going to come and, you know, give it a try, see if he likes it, and see how things work out. He's going to be coming up from the Plainville area, which will be pretty sweet. Now, D&D, we have a lot of fun. We're working on a quest for the Winter Court of the Eladrin, and just kind of doing some searching and looking around. It seems that their fortress, which normally transitions between the Eladrin realm and, you know, Earth, D&D Earth, is stuck longer and longer in Earth. It goes to, you know, one area, it goes to a second plane, and it, you know, teleports or whatever it goes. And then it used to stay for, say, like X amount of time, and now it's staying longer and longer, and they're afraid they're not going to be able to transition back and forth. So they managed to get us, this group of adventurers, to go and try to investigate it. I'm really enjoying this part of the quest because I get to use my abilities as a mage to really get involved with this and do some serious role-playing. And right now, the first adventure we actually did with this, we were at the Winter Court Fortress, and we had to just kind of try to figure out what would have caused this to happen. So there was a lot of skill checks involved. I got to pull out a ritual, and it was pretty cool. It was the first time I actually got to pull out a ritual ever. I think we're at level 7, so that gives you an idea. We've been playing for over a year, playing just, you know, once a month, but I actually have some sad news pertaining to that, which I'm going to tie into with dispatches from HQ. Other gaming, I went to Painting Social, which I'm going to go into more depth in a little bit, and played a game, two games actually, Flames of War, some learning games. I won one, I lost one. It was just good to try to, you know, get my feet wet some more with Flames of War and get a little more accustomed to the rules. I have to spend some more time reading the rule book and going over it. My focus has been on Black Powder, so Flames of War is important to me, but I haven't, you know, spent tons of time with it. Plus, my army's not completed. I have one of my friends, John Caputo. He's one of my gaming buddies, and he's a fantastic painter. And he loves to assemble things, or at least I think he loves to. He assembles them anyway. So he agreed to assemble some of my stuff for me, the things that I have left. He's going to put my infantry on the bases. And I know you're thinking, you're just gluing infantry guys onto a base. How hard is that? But for some reason, it's like a mental writing block to me that I just can't get past that. So he's doing that, and he's assembling my BMW motorcycles. Plus, and I don't know if he knows this yet or not, but he's assembling my FAMO, my SDKFZ918T recovery vehicle. So he may not be aware of that, but John, you're going to be doing it. So if you're listening to this, I got a surprise for you, buddy. So he's doing that. We've managed to work out, you know, an equitable deal. He's going to do that for me, and he's getting some sort of, you know, payment or whatever. And then once they're done, I will go ahead and start painting them up. And it shouldn't be hard because, I mean, they're 50mm. And they're the last things I need to paint. All my tanks are done. All my other vehicles are done. The trucks and the cars and all that kind of stuff for my Pienza company. I think I have about 2,000 points. I made the list out of Ostfront, and I actually haven't looked at that book, well, recently, I guess, under the old, heck, I'm still calling it Ostfront. It's the Eastern Front book. Under the old Ostfront book, it was a Panzer company. I had two Panzer combat platoons. They were Panzer IIIs, Panzer IV Mark II was the company commander, platoon commander, and I had some Panzer IIIs, I think, as the other commanders for each group, plus a scout platoon, which is my guys on BMW motorcycles, and then I have a Panzer Grenadier platoon in trucks, just because I couldn't afford the points for the half-tracks, which is what I really wanted. I know the half-tracks will play better, but this is just for me to get going and give things a try. And then I tossed in the recovery vehicle just for repairs. I don't think it's going to come in too often, but, you know, I wanted it, just something I've done. So once he's done assembling my stuff, that'll get that going. Let's see. I played some San Juan, which is a great game. I can actually talk about that later. And did some work on the 172nd plastics I have. They're the IMAX Accurate, you know, plastic toy soldiers, which Court Neglin actually gave to me. It's very generous of him. So did some work on that and met up with my buddy Adrian and passed some of those on to him. He actually took, I think they're, I don't know, we're going to use them as Hessians, is what we're going to use them as, but I think they're actually Napoleonic Prussians. And he's going to just go ahead and glue them onto bits of card, you know, serial cardboard. I've been stockpiling that and made a deal with my wife that I don't have to sneak it out. So I made a deal that I'm going to get a bunch of that instead of it going to the bunnies, which is good. I got to work on some of that myself. And, oh, let's see what else we got. I think that might be my, you know, quote-unquote weak, loose use of the term in gaming. So, let's see, right now, you know what, let's get the dispatches from headquarters out of the way. So, big news, I'm going to be moving. My wife and I are going to be renting a condo closer to where I work, and that's going to be happening within the next month, month and a half maybe. I'm going to have, you know, more information once we get closer to that, when we're actually doing the move and how all that's going to work and stuff. But when we get closer to that, I'm not going to be able to do, you know, any really recordings. And I guess that's not true. I could record on the Zoom H2 I got, but then I wouldn't really be able to edit it because once we get into the actual, you know, packing things up and stuff, the computer's going to have to come down and all that stuff's going to have to go in boxes. So I'm not going to be able to release anything for a little while. Like I said, once we get closer to that, I'm going to go ahead and let all you guys know that and say that, you know, for the next, I don't know, week, next 2 weeks or whatever it'll happen to be when that time comes, that I won't be releasing any episodes. Just so you know, so you have a heads up. The cool thing about where we're moving, going to have some more space. I should actually have room there, I think, to have a small but dedicated painting area, which will be pretty cool for me, because right now I paint at our coffee table and, you know, lay it out with newspaper and all that kind of stuff. But being able to have a place where I can just put my project out and leave it there and work on it. Will be cool. You know, get some sort of sturdy table and get a, you know, one of those lamps that clips on to the table to get me some good light and stuff. You know, maybe something with a magnifying glass or whatever on it in case I needed it. But, you know, some sort of lamp or whatever. So that should be pretty cool, and we're both very excited. The place is fantastic, lots of amenities, and, you know, we're really excited, both of us, about it. But like I said, there will be a small intrusion into the podcast, and that's unfortunately not anything I can help, unfortunately. So that's the dispatches from headquarters for all of you guys. And now let's get going with the Battleground Games Painting Social. So the last Tuesday of the month, Battleground Games and Hobbies at the Plainville location, 25 Taunton Street in Plainville, which is down the road right off of Route 1, you know, from the Foxborough Stadium where the Patriots play. They have a painting social. And let's see, the Strategic Wargaming Club, I think, kind of co-hosted with Battleground Games and Hobbies. And guys just get together, well, guys and girls, people get together, gamers get together and go to Battleground, and you bring whatever it is you have that you want to work on, that you want to paint, or whatever. And they've been doing it a few months. This was my first time going this past Tuesday, I believe it was. And I had a good time. I wanted to make sure I went because I've been wanting to go for quite a while. And I had heard good things. I heard that they had a large turnout. I heard that people were, you know, motivated painters, a good friendly group. It was casual. You know, you go, you just grab a seat and you start working. And, you know, there's someone on either side of you or across the table from you just sitting there working on stuff too. And, you know, you can kind of just chat, maybe learn a thing or two. Maybe you might be able to teach someone a thing or two. Just kind of see what's going on, get some pizza or something. There's Pizzoni's next door. And just, you know, have a good time. So I went, and it was a smaller group, but I'm glad I went because I got some good painting done on my black powder figs. I was working on my next blister. And, you know, I'm not really sure if I can call them blisters because they come in tiny boxes. But I'm going to just use the term blister because I've been, you know, quote, born and raised, I guess you could say, with GW, where things are sold in blisters. I guess a lot of places sell them in blisters. Anyway, so I had some infantry I wanted to work on, some of my militiamen for my AWI Black Powder. And when I say Black Powder, I mean the rulebook by World of Games. And by rulebook, I mean set of guidelines for how to play when consuming scotch and hanging out with a bunch of your buddies. Is actually how I think of them. So I just had some guys, and I wanted to work on them, and they were almost done. I was there about 4 hours or so, and I got some work on them. I actually got to make some new friends, met a guy named Tim, who was interested in the podcast when I started talking about it, and he took one of my brand new business cards, said he's going to, you know, give us a listen while he's doing some painting, which will be pretty cool. And I got to hang out with Michael Salzman, who's the head of Strategic Wargaming. He's working on a gigantic, oh, what the heck did he call it? A Carnosaur, I guess is what he called it. And he bought like something like 15 Stegodon kits for Warhammer Fantasy, and he has a Skinks army that he's doing, and he's bringing this down to GW's Games Day as part of their Armies on Parade, and he's going to go, and he's hoping that by going and doing this big and stuff, he's going to go and maybe be allowed to go in and compete. I got to tell you, this thing looks amazing. It's absolutely fantastic. It's put together beautifully. All the kits go together well. All the pieces are painted superbly. They scratch building is fantastic. He made this kind of diorama carrying case, actually, for the army. So the gigantic Stegodon Carnosaur dinosaur thing sits on top. And the thing is huge. It's at least 2 to 3 feet long, 1.5 feet wide, I think. And it's gigantic. It looks realistic. It's perfect. It's painted beautifully. And he was just finishing up some of the skinks on Tuesday. And then he went and started to pour some resin turpentine kind of stuff to do a water effect, but he wasn't using the Woodland Scenics water effect, and I asked him about that. He said that with the Woodland Scenics, and I have to preface this by saying I have not done any water effects ever in my life, so I don't have any first-hand knowledge on how they work, and I've never used them, so just keep that in mind. But he said that the Woodland Scenics one, when it dries, it's kind of like a rubbery kind of texture, and it holds dust very well. So you're constantly dealing with that. But with the thing he was using, it was kind of like a two-part, epoxy kind of thing. A two-part mixture of, and when it goes, it dries clear and everything. And he said, you don't really have to worry about any dust or anything kind of sticking to it. So he was just waiting for it to harden. He set it up, and I think he had a little bit of leakage. but he kind of, like, held it in with some pieces of wood, actually. I don't know what size wood it was. I'm not very good with that, but he put some wood there and, you know, was holding it in, a little leakage, but not too bad. And the thing looks beautiful. I should have got pictures, and I have to apologize that I didn't, but it was just really cool. So I was very proud of that. I'm hoping he does well. I'm wishing him well. Games Day is coming up relatively soon, I think. That was pretty cool. The Painting Social started at 6:30. I got there around 7. You know, I stayed 4 hours, whatever. It's like I said, it was a smaller group, but it was a good group. And people were playing some Warhammer Fantasy and doing some other stuff, and got to talk about Warhammer Historicals, talked about Trafalgar, and talked about a bunch of different historicals. We talked about minis and all sorts of stuff. So it was just cool hanging out with people and seeing what was going on and that kind of stuff. That's actually a wrap-up for the Painting Social. They're going to run it again next month. Last Tuesday of the month they're going to do it. I'm hoping to go depending on how things go with the move with the new place. But also, since I don't do D&D on the last Tuesday of the month anymore because we moved to Mondays, I normally record the podcast on Tuesday evenings, but I mean, that can change as long as I do it during the week. And if I'm going to the Painting Social, that's for a good cause, to get some black powder done and, you know, have something to talk about on the podcast, some progress and everything. So that finishes up the BG Painting Social. Next time it comes up, I will be sure to mention it here on the show, so that if you're in the area and you want to go, you can pop on by and do some painting. I do have to say, though, related to this, and I'm kind of getting into the, you know, eerie events, so I don't want to go too much with that. But I do have to say, on almost every Wednesday, I get together down at BG Plainville. We alternate Plainville to our Aberdeen, but basically BG Plainville. And we play historicals. We do board games. We do Flames of War. We do War at Sea, the Wizards of the Coast collectible mini. We're going to be doing Black Powder and all that kind of stuff. So if you're interested in any of that, I do recommend that you come and that you go to that. It's on Wednesdays. We post on the forum, but we also do text messages. If you're interested in attending or whatever, just, you know, pop on by. Usually they are between 6:30 and 7. Yeah, 6:30 and 7 or so we start. I get there maybe a little bit later. But it's just, you know, it's a good time. Or you can send me an email if you want, if you're looking at going. Send it to cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. So like I said, that wraps up the BG Painting Social. And we're just going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some area events in our mailbag, and then we're going to get into the contest and giveaway and continue on with the rest of the show. So we are back, and like I promised, we want to talk about some area events, and some of this ties into the mailbag, but I'm going to start off with the area events just because I want to make sure I get that out there and, you know, grab you while your attention's going on. So we have quite a few events from Adler Hobby. They're up in Hollis, New Hampshire. And Gordon, who's the owner of Adler Hobby, notified us about these. He posted them on our blog, but let's get into that in a minute. But the first thing he's doing up at Adler Hobby, the last Saturday of every month is a gaming and painting social. So the next one's going to start on July. Well, by the time you're listening to this, this one will have passed. But it's the last Saturday of the month. It starts at 1 in the afternoon, goes until 5. There's no cost to it. And he wrote up a little blurb. He wrote up a little blurb about a couple of other things that I'm going to be talking about too. But this one, it's going to be at Adler Hobby. I think they're actually all at Adler Hobby. But the Painting Social, Gaming Painting Social, 96 Twist Lane, Hollis, New Hampshire. And if you're in the area or just want to go up for a ride, like I said, it's 1 to 5 o'clock, last Saturday of the month. And his little blurb says, we have gaming, but also focus on painting and modeling in-store. A, quote, sewing bee for gamers, if you will. You're invited to bring anything to paint and model. They have a few supplies on hand, you know, water basins and a few brushes, that kind of stuff. Just bring your favorite colors to paint, some glue, and your models. You'd be surprised how much gets done sitting at a table with others doing the same thing. And sometimes you can also learn from each other while you paint. You know, have a little chat, crack a few jokes, etc. It should be a good time. Just show up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you can head on over to that. I gotta say, after going to the BG one, I completely agree. Painting socials are the way to go. It's worth making time just to get together with your buddies and paint, whether you're going to a store or you're doing it at home or whatever you happen to be doing. So that's just, it's something to keep in mind. Also, Adler Hobby is going to be running, they are running, a North Africa mid-war campaign. The next month, which you'd be able to go is July 9th and July 30th. They're doing it. It's on a Saturday. Those are all Saturdays, July 9th and the 30th, from 1 to 5. Again, it's at Adler Hobby. They do it the second and last Saturday of every month. You want to go to 96 Twist Lane, Hollis, New Hampshire. You need to bring 850 points with one HQ and one troop. You can have some fun games. You get a face-off on the table for control of North Africa using a map and Firestorm units. Those are fun units to add to your force for free. Players are going to battle it out one-on-one or two-on-two in the heat of the desert. It starts at 1, runs until 5, like I said, on the second and last Saturday of the month. And it's just something to go ahead and to do. It's Hollis, New Hampshire at Adler Hobby. And then every Thursday from 5 at night to midnight is Thursday game time. 96 Twist Lane, Hollis, New Hampshire, Adler Hobby. Play Malifaux board games and Flames of War. You're welcome to come down to model and paint just to get out of the house. You know, do something hobby related. They tend to order pizza and subs. Gordon actually says steak tip dinner is his favorite. But you want to make sure that you be there by 6 o'clock because that's when they order. Get there beforehand if you want to have something to eat. And they just play some games. It's something to go ahead and to do. For all of these, you can go to adlerhobby.com. That's AdlerHobby. And that will help you go to, just see what's going on at Adler Hobby. And that's probably the best way to kind of get in touch. They have a message board on there, and they have some other stuff as well. And if you go over there, you find some other ways to contact them. You're also going to find that they have their gaming events up there, the ones that I had just talked about. If you're interested in any of these, you can just pop them by. You don't need to pre-register. There's no cost to any of these, as far as I know. But if you want, you can give them a phone call. The phone number is 603-465-7072. Tell Gordon that you were sent by Jonathan at the CWF Gamecast, or you can send an email. Gordon loves getting emails, I'm told. AdlerHobby@yahoo.com. That's AdlerHobby@yahoo.com. So just let Gordon know that you heard about his events from here on the blog and our podcast, the CWF Gamecast. I know he will appreciate hearing that. And then we have some other events going on. I already talked about the painting social. I'm sorry, I'm just pulling up some of the events. The painting social at Battleground Games and Hobbies. But I want to also give a heads up. They are doing a War Machine / Hordes Rotterhorn League. It actually began on June 23rd at 6:30. But this is being run at Abington. It's run 6:30 in the evening. It's something for you to go do. The little blurb from Privateer Press says, third installment for the 2011 War Machine and Hordes League season comes your way in June. Tour 3 of the 2011 League season takes place in the desert region surrounding Rotterhorn, a giant mountain on the edge of the Bloodstone Desert. Each player who participates in the League will receive a unique Rotterhorn rank insignia patch. The League will be tracked by Privateer Press on the Privateer Press website. So that's going to be pretty cool. Like I said, that's being run at the Abington location. And just a few things to say about this. It's ending on 7/17, which is July 17th. It's $15 to enter per person. And the League's going to be every Thursday at 7 o'clock, actually, in Abington. The address is 1501 Bedford Street, Abington, Mass. If you're interested, you need to contact Chase Laquadara, chaselaq@gmail.com, or you can call the Abington location, 781-261-9669. Now, for this league, there's a couple things to keep in mind. There's a bunch of rules for the Shattered Ground Leagues that you need to look at, and you can find those on the Battleground Games and Hobbies message board. We'll have a link to this particular thread on there in our show notes, so you don't need to worry. But they also have rules specific to the Rotterhorn season league. They say that it's recommended that players read both rule sets so that everyone in the league is kind of familiar with how it goes. There's a storyline that they give a link to. It's using the War Machine Prime MK2 and Horde's Primal MK2 rule books. And then the legal lists that you can use, the legal armies, are Signar, Protectorate, Kador, Krix, Retribution of Sera, Mercenaries, Trollbloods, Circle, Orboros, Scorn, Everblight, and Minions. And then just a couple things to keep in mind. League games can be played at 15, 25, 35, 50, 75, 100, 125, 150, and 200 point levels. You have to agree on the point level that you're going to play with your opponent. And then you got to bring, you know, your own models, your stat dice, cards, measuring devices, all that kind of stuff. Anything that you need to play, you need to bring. And then just try to work with your opponent to make things work, despite the, you know, play like you have a pair kind of model of Private Impress. You guys should know how I feel about Private Impress. You really should. So I'm not going to go off on them now. But be good sports, okay? So there's just a bunch of stuff on there about how the league works and paint. Not painting, but points and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to read it all out to you, but I'm going to make sure we have a link to it in the show notes. You can get the full details if you are so interested. Additionally, every Saturday in Abington and every Sunday in Plainville, at both of them at noon, there's going to be a Pokemon League. So that's going to be another cool thing that you guys can do. Again, we're going to have a link to the in the show notes to it. And there's a whole bunch of things for it, but it's the CCG, Pokemon CCG, you'll be able to do. As always, Friday Night Magic is held at Battleground, both Abington and Plainville. At Abington, it starts at 7, Plainville 7:30. They alternate how they do things. You just go to the stores, and you can go ahead and play. It's just something cool to do. And then they have a couple new releases I want to mention. We got a new D&D board game, Conquest of Narrath. It's going to be both at Abington and Plainville. We have the Magic 2012 core set, again, Abington and Plainville. It releases on July 15th. Boosters are $3.99. Intro packs are $12.99. And a quote-unquote fat pack, $39.99. And then lastly, Battleground, both at Abington and Plainville, has the Battle Foam packs. These are, think like Army Builder, not Army Builder, Army Transport Cases, sorry, by Sabal Designs Army Transport Cases, but these are by Battle Foam. I've never used them, but they got they did pre-orders at Battleground, and they're going to be carrying some of that stuff, so that'll be there. And then also, the Wiz Store, Route 9 East in Westboro, contact 508-366-2030, has a bunch of things going on. They got some new products in. They got the Casino Battle Royale book for Flames of War. They got a game called Pathwords, Word Search Extreme. It's a puzzle game by the people at Think Fun. And it's just a bunch of different challenges. They have four levels of play with that: easy, intermediate, advanced, and expert. Just something for you to go to do. And then there's a whole book called Potato Chip Science, things you can do with potato chips. So if you've ever been at a party, there's that last potato chip in the bowl, and no one wanted to take it, don't throw it away. Grab that with you and do some potato chip science. You can grab the book at The Wiz. They're also doing something called the Ceiling Tile Contest. It's Pirates and Ninjas. It actually began at the beginning of June, and it's going to end on... Well, it's actually going to have ended, actually, so never mind. But you can go and vote, which is actually going to be cool. They're going to be voting from Monday, July 11th through Sunday, August 14th. And what you're going to vote on, people will have come in and they paid a $5 fee. They're going to get blank ceiling tile. And then they get to, you know, just do whatever, design however they want to do. And then this vote, you go vote in person at the store and you vote on your favorite. So a prize is going to go to whoever won based on whatever's most popular. If there's five or more entries, there's going to be an Employee's Choice Award as well. Prizes are going to be dependent on the number of people who enter, so hopefully enough people will have entered. Paint whatever you wanted as long as it was related to Pirates and Ninjas. So when you go, please go to The Wiz, please vote, and pick your favorite tiles. Whatever had the best Pirate Ninja thing going on with it. And then they have some events coming up. So on July 9th, actually, is the one event that I really want to talk about. They are doing Warhammer Fantasy. It's called The Forefathers. It's going to be a tournament. It's $10 to get in. 9 o'clock in the morning is registration. Dice stop rolling at 10. You're going to be done by 5:30. You need to bring 2,500 points. You need to have names for all of your lore choices. So, you know, think a little fluff. Give them a name. It's 3-round Swiss pairing, you know, prizes and all that kind of stuff. If you're interested in any of these, please get in touch with The Wiz. Like I said, you want to call 508-366-2030. Go in person. It's Route 9 East in Westboro. That's 276 Turnpike Street, Turnpike Road, rather. Or send Chris Walsh an email. It's chris@wiznet.com. And he'll be glad to set you up with anything. If you get in touch with him, please tell him that the CWF Gamecast sent you. Jonathan over here sent you his way. I'm sure he would like to know that. And I hope you go and I hope you have some fun at the events. That rounds up all of the area events that I happen to know about. There's one non-area New England event that I want to mention, and that's just Historicon's coming up. So hopefully you got your pre-registration done for that. I'm not going to be there, but hopefully you will be. If you are, please go on Saturday. I think it's at 9 o'clock at night. WWPD, News from the Front, is doing a live podcast. Please go. Please tell Steven, Luke, Dirty John, and the gang that Jonathan from the CWF Gamecast says hi. Go hang out. They're going to have free beverages. I think they're having free beer, and they're going to do giveaways. They're going to actually do a raffle for the Polish train. It's fully painted. It's fantastic. They got some terrain they're giving away and some other stuff. Lots of great cool prizes. Please go. Please have a good time. And just tell them I say hi. So that's the other event, just to kind of give you the heads up for. And then now we have our mailbag. And we have, well, you know, we have quite a bit, actually, of mailbag kind of things that I want to talk about. So, there's tons. I'm sorry. I don't really know where to begin. I guess, okay, I'm going to go back and let's start with feedback from episode 59, which was the War Games Magazine Extravaganza. And that's the one where, just a brief reminder, I went ahead and I did a review of War Games Soldiers and Strategy. I talked about digital magazine subscriptions and all that kind of stuff. So we got a little bit of feedback, and the feedback was all positive that we had heard. I got to say that Jesper Orthoris, who's the big boss over at WSNS and also editor of Ancient Warfare magazine, and he's on their podcast as well, he left some feedback on Facebook, and Facebook's a great place to leave feedback. Again, you're going to be a member of Facebook. You would have to like our page, which I would hope you do, and you can go ahead and leave feedback, whereas on the blog, you can just kind of go ahead and do it. You don't need to sign up or whatever. But he left some feedback, and he said that he thought it was an interesting discussion of digital versus hard copy subscriptions. He says he doesn't really agree with me on everything, that you have to remember the physical magazine with that, it's a cost of the printing. It's not a fixed cost per issue. So if you print 10,000 copies, the cost per issue is going to be a lot lower than if you print, say, 500 copies or 100 copies or even 1,000 copies. And so with that, it puts the problem for small magazines, you know, like WSNS or Battle Games Magazine, because if a lot of people switch over to a digital subscription only, don't have the physical, but if not everyone switches over, then they still have to, you know, put out a printed version. So that means the cost per version goes up, which could mean that they would have to raise the price for the issue. So that's something to keep in mind, something I didn't actually cover at all. And then he also says that there's kind of a sliding scale that depends on the printing method for the cost, that basically you pay for the setup costs and the labor all the way up to about 1,000 to 1,500 copies, that if you're only doing 100 less copies, you're not going to save a whole lot, and 100 more copies actually becomes a lot more affordable. So that, you know, the cost per unit kind of drops a lot for every 1,000 extra, and that difference, and this kind of surprises me, could be as much as $3 a magazine at the low circulation to 50 cents per magazine at the high end. So once you go past 10,000 copies, you get different printed methods you can do, and the cost drops even more and becomes more and more affordable. So what does this mean for you, the listener, you the subscriber, you the reader? Well, the more copies they're printing, if you're buying a hard copy, the less they can charge for it. And obviously, you know, they're trying to cover costs with, you know, people who advertise and all that kind of stuff. And so that's going to play into it as well. But if it's costing them, you know, $5 to make that one issue, make one copy of that one issue, they can't charge you $5. They might charge you $10. But if it's costing them 50 cents to make that one issue, they might be able to sell it for $3 a magazine. So you got to keep that in mind. Obviously, digital costs you less, and it costs them less too, because for the company, any, you know, publisher should have the stuff to make a regular PDF. They should already have that stuff. It shouldn't cost them anything to do it. And that's a point Jasper raised. It was really important. But when you get into the issue of having, you know, live hyperlinks, or he actually mentions about doing a magazine app, like for a smartphone or, you know, an iPad or something like that, tablet computer, there's some real costs involved and some difficulties in there. So that makes the price go up. It's something to keep in mind. Not everyone's going to do that, but if you're just having the PDF, that could be pretty sweet, and almost no cost to them, so no differences there. Also, Mike Blake said that he really enjoyed episode 59, that, like Jesper, he doesn't agree with me on my digital standpoint, particularly. For him, he says he likes having the physical copy, and it's better for him than, you know, reading it on an iPad or whatever. And I want to touch on that in a second, but I want to go over a little more of the feedback. Jesper and Henry Hyde both were talking about this, and they said that they found that people tend to say that very few of them want to have a digital-only subscription, but that, you know, they probably only hear from a small group, and that the people who want digital subscriptions, who make it known, are going to be kind of tech-savvy kind of people, the people who are going to go on a internet message board or on a podcast and say, you know, I really want digital subscriptions. And the concern for publishers is, what about the person we're not hearing from? What about, you know, Joe Schmo or Mary Smith or whoever who likes the hard copy and just isn't speaking up? If they're not hearing from you, they don't know. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, I need to say that, yes, I love digital subscriptions. Yes, I subscribe to WSNS and Battle Games Magazine, and I am only able to subscribe to them because of their digital subs. And if they did not have digital subs, I would not subscribe. That just for me, it's a personal preference. But I am surprised how I feel about digital subs and digital format, actually. I am a proponent, and long have been, of having that physical book in your hand and physical magazine and, you know, flipping through it and everything. And I never wanted to give that up. And then one day I just kind of got into ebooks, and I discovered that I was doing my reading at home that way. But I do most of my reading actually with physical items. Now, that works great for a book, and that's how I would do it. But with a magazine, there's two problems. One, how often are you going to read it? You're probably going to read it once, but you might refer to it more than once as a reference source. So that's cool. But with that, I find it's easier on something like an iPad because you're out and about. You can refer to it, pull it up when you're with a bunch of buddies, maybe you're at a game. And if they're talking about something in the magazine, you can just go ahead and you can surf right to whatever you need to. Maybe they're talking about a website or a product or whatever. You can get to it really easily. It's not that simple with a hard copy. Now, a plus for a hard copy of a magazine, and I discovered this when I went to Huzzah, was that the size makes a big difference. Now, Battle Games, I think, is published and printed on an A4 size paper, and Henry Hyde listens to this podcast. Henry, if I'm wrong, please correct me, and I will release that in another episode. But it's a larger size paper, so I saw it as Huzzah, and I didn't recognize it at all. I was like, oh, this is a red frame, and that looks like Battle Games. But it can't be Battle Games, because Battle Games, well, I don't know why it couldn't be Battle Games. But I just was like, this couldn't be it. And I picked it up, and it was big. The pictures popped, and the text popped, and everything, it just stood out. And that's something you lose with digital format. You don't get the full impact. So I got to agree with Mike on that. That the digital format does make it pop. It does make it a little better. Well, a lot better in that regard. But I do my reading, you know, at night while my wife is in bed. I don't want to wake her up with the light or whatever. iPad is backlit. So that's, you know, that's why I do it. Let's see. Other feedback. Got something from Andrew Malcolm. He said that he had read a recent War Games Illustrated. I think it was number 285. He found out some cool stuff that they had some cool articles on Heel Season, Napoleonic Gaming. And then he talked about some releases from Plastic Soldier Company. Looks like they're doing 15mm late war British infantry, Sherman M4A1, the SDKFC 251C and D, and a Stug 3. So they're going to be doing that. And then there's going to be an early war desert book called Hellfire and Back. I think that's for Flames of War, actually. Going to be released in August. It's going to have 4 Italian, 9 German, and 10 British briefings, along with 3 new missions and rules for fielding fortified positions. Then they're also releasing a ruined monastery as of July 30th. So thank you, Andrew, for letting us know about that. And what else do we got? When I went to the painting show, actually, and I posted this online, I was really surprised because a couple guys I never met before, didn't know, they came up and walked up behind me while I was sitting down and painting. And I thought they wanted to get to something on the table. Maybe they had a model, you know, sitting next to me or whatever. So I was moving out of the way. And one of them spoke up and said, oh, we're looking at your models. And I'm thinking, okay, what's wrong with them? I know they're bad, but are they really that bad? And they're looking, and I was like, oh, did you want to see a finished piece? And I was like, I got these six guys here. You can look at them. You know, they're looking at them like, can we hold them? And I was like, yeah. So they're picking them and looking at them and stuff. A few minutes go by and they're looking at them. And then they started complimenting me on them. And as those of you who listen to the show know, I don't think I'm good at painting. So I was very surprised to have this happen. And usually, you know, I might have something and someone I game with will be like, oh, that looks cool. And I don't doubt that they mean it. But I mean, you know, I game with you, so... It's much different having that happen and having something just some complete stranger be like, dude, this is awesome. This great job. So that was, I still don't know what to make of it, but that was something else. So that was kind of cool feedback I got. Not really about the show, but I guess. And then Gordon from Abner Hobby actually said that he wants to start playing the show in his store. And he was curious if he could have permission. And I said, no, go ahead. You know, just keep on doing it. And if makes you happy, go for it. So I was actually really excited about that, and I don't know when he's going to start doing it, but I thought it was pretty cool, and it seems like Gordon's a fan, so hooray. So that's what we get from Mailbag. If you have any, you know, constructive comments that you want to send our way or news you want us to get out there, maybe you're running an event or something or whatever, just get in touch. Go ahead and send an email to cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. Chisel down, we'll talk about it on the show. We read all feedback. We read all emails. We do our best to reply to all of them. You can also leave comments on our Facebook, on our blog, all that. But, you know that. That's at the end of every show. We say, hey, leave comments here, there, blah, blah, blah. One thing I do want to say, if you are running events, we actually have a post, a little article that I had written up a while ago on the blog. It's called Wanted New England Gaming Events. And basically, if you're a game store owner, a convention organizer, you're a gamer, whatever, I want to promote the businesses you love, the games you play, and the cons you attend. So if you have information on New England gaming events, please try to keep it to New England. I know this is a global audience that listens to it, but again, I'm in New England. Chances are people will go to New England events if they're listening and they live in New England. Excuse me. But share information on the New England gaming events. Please let me know about, you know, tournaments, pre-releases, maybe weekly game sessions that, you know, new people can go into. We'll talk about that. When you get in touch with us, email's probably the best, but please tell us, you know, what the information is or how we can find it online. Include, you know, all the stuff like, is this a cost to get into, what time it is, where it is, all that kind of stuff. And try to give us some leeway. We kind of a two-week turnaround usually from the time I record to the time something releases. So give me as much notice as you can and I'll slot it in as possible. And just as time allows, I want to get this stuff in the podcast and share the news. That's something I did way back in the early days of the show. And I thought people enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking about the stuff. So we'll do that. And like I said, you can go ahead and send an email, or if you're doing, you know, any of those events, you can actually post them directly if you want, right on the blog. If you go to wargamingforums.com, in our search bar, you can search for Wanted New England Gaming Events or New England Gaming Events, and then you should be able to find the blog post, and just post it on the blog post. I get all the comments, I see them all, I read them all, I reply and stuff, and I'll, you know, talk about them. So that's something to do. Right now, let's see, how am I doing for time? I'd like to try to keep this going. I'm actually using up the time pretty quickly. So I'm going to take a small break. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about my first thoughts with WSNS. I'm going to do a product mention and then talk a little bit about local game stores just briefly. So I'll be back in a jiff. So, I am back, and let's see, let's just get to it, because the time is running out, and I like to keep this to an hour. You guys expect an hour, I promise an hour, I need to deliver an hour. WSNS, I got my first issue as a digital sub, and I have to say, I have not read all of it, I've only kind of delved a little bit into it. My initial review of the hard copy, it was amazing. I loved it. Just a few things I had a problem with, but overall, I thought it was fantastic. I absolutely adored it. And then the digital sub came, and I got the new issue, and it came promptly. It was really easy. I got the email, which for some reason, with Battle Games Magazine, I never get the email saying it's ready to download, but I get all of Henry's other emails. I don't know what... That's another issue. But the email came, went out right away. I downloaded it. I got it, put it to my iTunes, no problem whatsoever. That was great. Now, my problem with the magazine, and I've only kind of glossed through it and got through a few pages. I have two main issues, and they're probably small as far as things go. And like I said, I just got it, so maybe when I spend more time with it, you know, I will enjoy it more. I hope I do. I'm really looking forward to it. But the first thing, on page 6, the background is incredibly dark, and the text color is dark, so I actually had a hard time reading it. I need to say that on the iPad, I dimmed down the brightness. Not completely, but I have it dimmed down, it's maybe 25% brightness. And I do that probably because I read at night and I don't need it so bright. I don't want to wake my wife. Even when I read during the day, I have it dimmer because I find you don't need it, but also because it prolongs battery life, and I don't want to shorten battery life just from reading. And normally it's not a problem. I gotta say, with the, you know, the cover, not a problem. Well, a little bit of a problem at the bottom, but not really. The beginning ads, not a problem. Table of contents, not a problem. The editorial, not a problem. Then page 6 news. And it was hard to read because some of the font, the text was a little smaller, and the colors are a little too close. And no, it was more legible when I made the brightness, I gotta say, 60 to 70%, almost max. And then it was not a problem. But I'm not going to read it that way. And I thought it was kind of interesting because in the editorial, Guy Bowers, he talks about, you know, feedback, and that WSNS wants feedback, and that the columnists say they want feedback, and, you know, just to get in touch. And he says, you know, go ahead and send an email, editor@wssmagazine.com, and that, you know, they're going to read them all, and if they get a lot, they're going to do, like, letters to the editor section and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I haven't emailed Guy, I haven't emailed Jasper, I haven't told anyone this. I'm telling you now, I guess is what I'm saying. So, in that, they talked about that there were some issues in the first one, and I'm actually going to go ahead, and I am going to quote some of what they say. Before I do, I need to say that they got a lot of positive feedback, a lot of positive reviews of the first issue. I was one of them, and I love the first issue that I got of the new WSNS. But they say here in the editorial, Guy says, he says that there were, quote, perceptive readers told us a few errors had crept into the previous issue. The background and font in the columns by Rick and Richard were a little too dark, unquote. And there were some other issues, but they talked about that, and I'm highlighting that because my issue here is with the font and the background color. It was a known issue from the columns before, and this is not a column, but I mean, come on. If you saw that the other thing was an issue, people told you, why not go through the rest of, you know, future issues and see what the layout's like and see what colors you're doing and see if maybe it's even remotely like the issue there. And now this actually, another problem with this is that a lot of guys are colorblind, okay? So the colors used, I don't think they're ones that people who are colorblind have a problem with. But if you're colorblind, you might not be able to differentiate as easily. And wargaming, I'm going to go on a limb and say, it's a male-dominated hobby. Maybe you should try to make sure that you use colors that are very discernible, whether you're colorblind or not, or whatever. You know, come on. Maybe you can just do that. Now, the other concern I have, and this is, again, a minor one, and it could just be something that I'm dealing with. I don't know if anyone else is. I don't know other people who subscribe who have digital subs who read on an iPad. I'm reading on an iPad 1, not an iPad 2. Maybe that's the difference. I don't know. But when I was loading some of the pages, and I only got to some of the miniatures reviews, I noticed that it took what for me was a long time for the page to load clearly. So, like, for page 7, I load, and now it's clear. Whereas, you know, some other pages, it worked fine, like the editorial, it was fine, but it seems like if there's a lot of graphics, a lot of imagery, a lot of alternating between special effects or whatever, that's taking a long time, and I haven't found that problem with, say, Battle Games or other magazines I've read on here. Not just gaming magazines, but other things I've read, things with pictures, any of that kind of stuff. Like, I've used, Apple includes with the iBooks, they include Winnie the Pooh. Okay, it's a free thing. I haven't really found any problem with that. Winnie the Pooh's full color, children's book, brilliant pictures, it's perfect. No problem, but this, for some reason, isn't. I don't know if that's something with the PDF, I don't know if it's something with my iPad, I don't know what it is, but it's something I'm encountering. I'm hoping that people who listen to my show, who might be reading WSNS, who might be reading it digitally, who might be reading it on iPad, can tell me. I'm hoping maybe Jasper or Guy, maybe you guys know something about this. But, like, I found a page 6, I found a page 7, page 8, like, any of the ones with a lot more pictures as I progressed. It took a little while for it to come through, and I don't know what it is. When I got to Rick Priestley's column, one of the pages, he has a bunch of charts, and it took a while for those to fully render, and they were kind of pixelated and stuff. And again, I don't know, maybe it's my iPad, maybe it's a PDF file, I don't know what it is, but it's kind of annoying. So hopefully that can be fixed, but my main gripe is not that, but it's the color combination. And not just with the page 6 news, but just in general, please kind of be aware. And after I saw this, I actually went back to the previous issue, and I noticed that there's some problems, too, with the Caligula article. Some parts, the text actually just blended in almost completely in with the background, and I couldn't read it at all. I don't have perfect eyes. You know, I wear glasses, but I can see pretty well. And I'm a younger guy. I read in well-lit areas with, you know, the iPad and stuff. When I was looking at this, especially with the physical copy, and I mean, I read this at night in bed, but I read it during the day too, and I compare it, and that's not it. It's I hate to say it, guys, but it's the colors. So I hope, you know, with the third issue that you come up with, that this will be fixed. I think it will be. You guys have addressed issues, and you know, you're forthcoming. You come up with it, so I think that's a good thing. You're not trying to hide it and pretend it doesn't exist. So I think you're gonna fix it. It's just my first looks. Those are some concerns I had. I liked the articles. I liked the stuff you're talking about. And I liked, you know, once things actually rendered, I enjoyed seeing the miniatures and reading the reviews and that kind of stuff. But like I said, I just kind of started to flip through. But it looks cool. I need to spend more time with it. I'm looking forward to the theme. I think this year really is a year of ancient gaming, whether it's Warhammer WAB, whether it's Hail Caesar, or, you know, any of the Peter Pig, or any of the other kind of roles that are out there. I think it really is ancient's year. So I'm glad that you guys were focusing on that, and I'm looking forward to reading the rest of the issue, and just seeing how it comes out. Now, you know, I'm just going to go for it. This might be a little longer episode, guys, and I have to apologize, but I want to do my review, since I was just talking about magazines, my review of Battle Games Magazine number 26. Now, those of you who follow the blog will know that I had talked about this issue on the blog. It's there. I did some stuff. I revived, actually, because of Battle Games issue 26, I'm going to do this for other magazines that I read. I revived some of our articles that I used to do. The Inside, the Quick Picks, and the First Look. And those basically, I just wrote down before I actually get into the review, because stuff like this is easier to talk about on the blog. I mean, I could just chat and chat on here, but on the blog, I can actually, it's better. But the Inside, it's basically the table of contents, I'm not going to lie. It's table of contents, it gives you an idea of what's actually in the magazine, so that way you can figure out if it's worth purchasing for you. I go ahead, I tell you what it costs, I tell you, you know, some things that looked interesting to me, and I give you the table of contents, and I give you the cover of the magazine so you can see what you think about it. It's just some promotion to see, hey, maybe you might want to access it and use it. Then, Quick Picks, I give you 5 articles or 5 pieces within the magazine. And these are things that I think are great, so that if you don't have a whole lot of time, or maybe you just, I think a lot of people read in the restroom, if you're going in there, or maybe you're at a quick lunch break or something, and you want to read something, I suggest 5 things that you should go at that I think they're worth reading, they're interesting, or there's something cool about them. So that way, you have those. Or maybe you don't read entire magazines, maybe you flip through or whatever. These are 5 things you need to look at. And then the last one is the First Glance, and that I spend more time. I actually kind of dissect. It's like a mini review of the issue of the magazine, whatever it happens to be. And I did that in the past I did it with No Quarter, and I did it with White Dwarf. So I did do that, and there's one that will be going up for BG26. But I just want to talk about the magazine. I got to say, I thought it was a great issue overall. I give it, I give it like 7 out of 10 stars. I thought it was pretty well done. I liked the content. I thought things were pretty well. There were a couple of things that I was not a fan of. Nothing's going to be perfect all the time. Nothing against, you know, Henry Hyde or Battle Games. But let's see. I thought the DBA at 20N article was a little too much of a fanboy going, yay, yay, I love DBA, it's super cool. And I thought that, you know, the guy who wrote it, he clearly knows about DBA, did a great job, but it wasn't really for me. And then I also kind of thought that, why are we writing about DBA at 21 years? I mean, unless you're an American, you know, who's just waiting to go and grab copious sums of alcohol legally for the first time, 21's not a huge thing. How about the 20th? Or, I mean, 20th is obviously past, but do the 25th, okay? It's a big anniversary. It's way more significant, and it would have been much cooler to cover then. So I don't know why that wasn't the case, but I think it should have been done then. Also, and I really hate to say this, but Henry Hyde's article, The Grunosian Intermezzo Part 1, not my favorite. It was a little bit disappointing, and here's why. Some of the stuff in there was already covered on his blog, and he wrote some posts covering, you know, the event that's covered in here. It's part of his Faltinian succession, which I love. If I could read an entire book of his fluff, his fiction, his stuff for this Faltinian succession, his homebrew campaign, I could read an entire book of it. I love it so much. But with this one, some of the stuff was either inspired by things that were on the blog, or, I hate to say it, similar. Things that came right from the blog. I had read the blog, so I felt like I had read it before, and I was like, oh, well, I saw this. And so I was disappointed by that. If you hadn't read the blog post, then it's not going to be repetitive. It's things that you can enjoy, and in that case, it's great. And he really shines with the, you know, the fan fiction, the fluff that behind it. So it was really cool for that. But just kind of the repetition of it from the blog, for me, was a little much that maybe not as eager to read it. And then also the Hidden Deployment article for Warmaster, I was kind of underwhelmed because it felt very similar to just, you know, any Fog of War kind of stuff that you could see just about anywhere else. There wasn't anything really unique in it. It wasn't like, oh, I'm extra special, you need to use me, I'm better than everything else. But it was kind of buoyed up because the author included tons of blank cards that you could use. You just need to print them out. And then Henry said that the guy actually sent him so many that he couldn't devote as much magazine space to them as he wanted. So he gives a link for download. There were a couple of reviews I was underwhelmed by. A guy who reviewed with Musket and Tomahawk and Saratoga, A Military History of the Decisive Campaign of the American Revolution. They were just so harsh and negative, like overly harsh and negative. I felt they were unjustifiable. So I don't know how they actually got to be like this. I don't know what it was, but I thought that was ridiculous. But there were some high points. I love the Sutherlands. Meet the Flockers was a great article. The Sutherlands are one of the reasons why I subscribe to Battle Games. And they're also one of the reasons why I subscribe to WSNS. I would subscribe to just about anything they're in. So that was fantastic. The editorial was a high point. Finding out that, spoiler alert, that Mike Siggins is retiring and Neil Shook of Meeples and Miniatures is going to be taking over the Forward Observer section. That was a plus for Observer. Was also pretty cool. The rules in the Eclipse of Generalship was great. There was a scenario called Command Challenge. That was another great one. I mean, there's just so much great stuff in here. Neil Shook's article, Treading the Boards, a lot of great reviews. I mean, overall, it's fantastic. So I give it, you know, like 7 out of 10 stars, really. And on the blog, you're going to see the, you know, the full article. And I have a bunch of categories and this is stuff that I cover. But, I mean, it's a good article. It's worth picking up. Just a couple things that I was a little underwhelmed by. But overall, it was a solid article. So, you know, 70% is what you could say. And I do recommend it. Now, let's see. What else do we got? I want to talk about local game stores. And I was listening to a recent episode of WWPD, and in it they were talking about some game stores down there in Richmond that, just to put it bluntly, they're not good. They're there, the employees, they just kind of hang out, they play games, they don't, you know, welcome you, they don't help you, they don't do stuff for you. You know, keep in mind, WWPD, it's a bunch of historical war gamers like you guys, like me, and the stores they went to, they're very heavy 40K kind of stores and stuff, but they were just very disappointed with them. And I'm very lucky because I have many game stores around here, and they're good game stores. Battleground Games and Hobbies is a fantastic game store. The Wiz, another fantastic game store. Both ones I've gone to, I've heard fantastic things about Adler Hobby, and I know there's other good ones, Pandemonium Books and Games. It just, there's all sorts of good game stores here in Massachusetts, and I don't know if we're just extra lucky or something in the water or what it is. But WWPD said that they think the difference between a good game store and a bad one is that a good game store is run by business people who like games, and bad game stores are run by gamers who try to run a business. Now, normally I would agree with them, but I think that's not entirely true. Battleground Games and Hobbies is run by Derek Lloyd, and he's fantastic. He's a gamer, okay? A gamer through and through, but he also has a good business sense. He has good people skills. He has the entire package. And I did a review of Battleground Games and Hobbies on the blog ages ago, and this, that, and the other, and fantastic. They're recipient of our Editor's Choice Award and all sorts of stuff. I'm going to be interviewing Derek and Chase soon. So, I mean, lots of love here for Battleground Games and Hobbies. Lots of support, lots of, you know, condoning, and lots of spreading the word for them. But Derek is a gamer, so that kind of disproves that. What helps is that he has a business sense. He's been in business for, oh God, 6 or 7 years, at least. So he's made it last, and he does it well. When you're there, not just him, but his employees too, they're all great guys. You walk in, they say hi. They welcome you. If you're not a regular, and you're not someone they know all the time, they're very welcoming. They ask if you need some help. They read your body language. They're there to assist you. But if you don't need the help, they're going to back off. They take the cues from you. The store has tons of stuff, lots of different products. If they don't have what you want, they can get it. And if they can't get it, they tell you. And they say, don't feel bad about going somewhere else. I wanted Perry miniatures. They couldn't get my Perrys. I went to them first because trying to support my local game store. They didn't have. They said, don't worry about it. Go somewhere else. But they often get stuff that, you know, I want or other people want. Whether it's, I mean, their 40K store, their Magic store, that's what pays the bills. We can't, you know, that's just how it is. But they have, you know, Flames of War. They have board games. They have other stuff. And they try to support it as much as they can. They run events. They ran the 40K Mega Battle, which it cost them, I think, $600 out of pocket that they lost. And it's not the first time. They do it because they love the community. They love the people coming. It's a big family. But it's a business, and, you know, they support the hobby. So they do a good job. The Wiz, another great store. They run all sorts of events. They have tons of stuff. They're the place to go, as far as I'm concerned, in Massachusetts for Flames of War product. And they're great people. They do everything they can. They offer free, you know, gift wrapping, and, I mean, just all sorts of stuff. It's a great place to go. They greet you when you come in. They ask if you need help. They're knowledgeable about the product. What are you going to do? What kind of army are you making? And, yeah, they, like any business, they need to make a sale, but they want to make sure that they make the right sale for you. And not every game store does it. But again, they're gamers. They have good business sense. And I think what WWPD was trying to say was that you need the combination that a store that's just gamers is going to fail. And I can name names, and I'm not going to. But, you know, there was one down in the Kingston Mall, and it was basically like someone took their basement clubhouse and turned it into and made a game store out of it. Like, transported their basement clubhouse and put it into a mall and turned it into a game store. And it's gone now, and it's gone for a reason. And you walk in, and, I mean, people playing games, no one there to talk to you, no one there to help you with anything. Good luck trying to do a special order on something, trying to see if they can get anything for you. No customer service whatsoever, and that's what's lacking. They were not supporting anything. It was bad, and there's game stores like that everywhere. And should you support game stores like that? No. You need to change them is what you need to do. And if they're not going to change to support the gamers, support the hobby, they're not there to realize that they need to serve you, the customer, then they're not worth your business. But there's probably a game store nearby that is going to be like that, that is going to support the hobby, that is going to support you, the gamer, and it's going to provide good customer service. And if there's not, you need to just keep on giving feedback. Eventually, someone's going to listen. Because people do. People care. If nothing else, if they don't listen, they go out of business. They can't pay the bills. And none of them want that. They don't. They need to put in the time. If you keep on giving the feedback, things will have to change. And sooner or later, someone somewhere will make a good game store if you don't have one near you. But hopefully you do. Like I said, I'm lucky I have good game stores near me. I'm spoiled by Battleground Games and Hobbies. I'm spoiled by The Wiz. I know it, but I believe that there are good game stores out there. And I believe that, you know, if there's not one near you yet, there will be. And you just got to speak up. And maybe, you know, maybe you will be the one to take the plunge and make the good game store. Derek Lloyd took that plunge and made it. The Walshes, they found out that The Wiz was going to be sold, go out of business. Their son used to play games there and loved it, didn't want it to die, said it was a good game store. They came in and they said, you know what, we're going to run it. We want it to continue as a good game store. We're going to do it. And they did it. So maybe you want to step up to the plate and do it. And it's not a thing to take lightly, but if you have the right mix of stuff, you could be a success. So it's something to consider. Not all game stores are bad. You do need to support your local game store. It needs to be a good game store. And, you know, don't be blind about it. Use your head. Be smart. And do what needs to get done. I was going to talk about how it can be difficult getting a game in just because I've had some trouble lately. But I'm actually going to save that for another show. So that's a teaser for you guys. An upcoming episode is going to deal with that. I'm going to end things with a reminder. We're doing a t-shirt giveaway. It's from HuzzahCon. Kylie generated as a result of MHWA and Dean Emerson. They donated some t-shirts. We have one XXL and the rest are larges. Please send an email to cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. Please give your mailing address and your size. First person who wants the, you know, XXL will get it, and the rest, the next four, will get the other ones. If you want it, or you know someone who does, please do it. It's a free giveaway. It doesn't cost you a thing. It's cost me money to mail them to you, but I don't care. And then we're doing a Name Our Podcast contest. We need a new name. So please send submissions to cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. Only one person will win, but you can do more than one submission. Whatever name you think, there's going to be a prize basket. Will we get new t-shirts made up for the show with a new name, the name that you might have submitted? You will receive a free t-shirt. There's going to be some digital downloads and some other products. I'm going to keep that a secret to kind of try to entice you in. This is a rolling contest going until we find one that we want to use. Get that in. And thank you for listening. This has kind of been a little bit of a kitbash of stuff. We talked about all sorts of different things. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope that you will come back and listen to us again next time. It's been a pleasure talking with you. That's about it. So as always, please keep on gaming. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Warning. Warning. Coming up next is the Music to Game By segment in the CWF Gamecast. Please stay tuned. We'll be back after this song.
say, Major, what on earth are you doing?
It's this blooming issue of Battle Games. It appears to be wearing some kind of futuristic armor. Pass me the can opener so I can try to get it out.
No, no, Major. That is an iPad.
Good Lord, man, don't be daft. It'll never fit under me monocle.
No, Major. The iPad is just another device you can use to read Battle Games magazine, because it's available in digital form as well as on paper.
Digital? What's that? A magazine with fingers? Well, there's still too much newfangled stuff in here. All these tanks and Blitzkrieg Commander and plastic now. They seem to be condoning the replacement of good old-fashioned lead. This is outrageous.
Yes, but there's still plenty of good old-school content as well, like command challenges and even a smattering of Spencer Smith's, what?
Yes, true, and those maps are first-rate. And I've read some excellent book reviews, and articles comparing rule sets, and how to make things, and interviews with some jolly interesting chaps. Well, I've got to admit, I've been converted, so get me a pigeon, I need to place an order.
Converted? Excellent, Major. Committed, more like. Come and visit the website at www.battlegames.co.uk, where you can find the magazine on paper for instant digital download or even on CD, so you can simply choose whatever suits you best. You could be downloading and reading your very first issue of Battle Games in just a matter of minutes, so why not give it a try? Battle Games, the spirit of wargaming.
The CWF Gamecast is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Axis and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com. And contest sponsor, Battle Games Magazine, the spirit of wargaming, available at fine hobby shops throughout the United Kingdom and beyond. Subscribe online at www.battlegames.co.uk. This recording is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for the CWF Gamecast online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.